Hey everyone, welcome to Nonproductive and our very special San Diego Comic-Con coverage exclusive special run-on sentence. I love doing these intros. They're so great. They're fun. I'm Frank. I'm joined in studio by James, Nate, Al, Cappy, and Big Papa P. All right, San Diego Comic-Con was just this past weekend, so we're only just a little bit super late for all of this. I'm assuming that the non-pro listening audience is as out of touch as I am, an aging geek. So we're going to go through everything, right? Right, James?
Everything I could find, which, as per usual, doesn't seem to be a lot about comics, right. But a lot about comic-based properties.
Hooray, comic-based properties.
It's the way of the future.
It's what we do now, apparently. Yes, I'm pretty excited by some of the things I've heard leaked over the past week, and I want to hear more details about it.
So I guess we can start. I think I'll start with probably who we can tell had the strongest showing, only because they didn't really let anything get leaked. They released it all to the public as
John
quickly
Barrowman.
As possible. John Barrowman
had the strongest showing.
He took a picture of himself in a different cosplay every day, including fantastic cosplays such as Squirrel Girl
that
and Zap Brannigan.
Those two were
a role he was clearly meant to play.
He was meant to be him.
Absolutely.
That was perfect.
Yeah. But you were actually talking about somebody else.
I was. I was probably going to talk about DC. I think DC did a really great job at kind of handling at least how they did the press this year, only because they decided they had a whole bunch of stuff they wanted to show people, and they showed it and then immediately released it online so everybody could enjoy it. That included trailers for both
Justice League
and Wonder Woman.
Uh-huh.
The first footage from Justice League and a trailer for the soon to be Wonder Woman, an updated trailer for Suicide Squad, which comes out next week. And then obviously their CW host of universe shows, oh, and Gotham.
Oh, they did something with Gotham. Good. Good. Good for you, Gotham. Good for you. You keep trying.
Hang in there.
Adorable little you. I got them.
You're such a show.
Yeah, so DC apparently did have like the biggest weekend. I think it's pretty fair to say. Let's talk, take one thing at a time and dissect the hell out of it until it's no longer fun?
Sure.
All right, great. Let's start with Justice League. Can we?
Yes.
All right,
we can.
Good.
So I really enjoyed the Justice League trailer.
He says incredulously.
Well, because I feel glares from around the room. But I really enjoyed it. Now, to be honest, I really enjoyed the second trailer for Justice League 2.
Batman versus Superman.
The second trailer for Batman versus Superman 2. I am easily tricked by
2 as in
good
as
marketing.
Well. He didn't mean Batman Superman 2. This is just a mess. We should just cancel this entire show and start over. Yeah, you did like the second teaser trailer thing for Batman versus Superman. So Justice League, basically the trailer is a lot more whimsical. That's not quite close. It's a lot more lighthearted than, let's say, Batman versus Superman, which were, you know, grimdark. I agree with that. I will give you that. I think it's interesting seeing Bruce Wayne recruiting a bunch of super friends. It was good. My issue with the trailer, and we're going to assume that you are aware of all the trailer-like news stories we're going to be talking about during the show. So there's absolutely no spoilers from now on.
Okay.
But we assume... Cappy, that wasn't talking to you directly. It's talking to our audience. You know we're doing a podcast, right?
I don't get out much.
All right, good. I wasn't even facing you while I was talking. So my personal feelings are that I appreciate that they're trying for something a little bit more lighthearted. I just didn't feel like the jokes really landed that well. They were just like, they're okay. They were there. That's my opinion. That's my 2 cents. What do you feel, anybody else? James?
I mean, I really enjoyed the jokes. I think the problem here is that they have a restriction now. They committed to this with Batman v Superman. They're not going to all of a sudden be like, well, F it, reboot the whole thing, you know, right now, right before they go into filming.
I almost wish they would.
Yeah, we all do, really.
So they have to kind of inject some... They're trying their best to kind of inject some...
Humor? Life?
I don't want to say humor, but some...
Lighthearted is probably the best term for it.
Yeah, some
positivity,
levity.
Maybe.
Why are we giving him synonyms? He can do words, right?
Maybe.
Not so much.
Character?
Personality.
There we go.
That's the word.
They
have to try to inject some personality into the product they have, and I don't think that's necessarily a recipe for disaster. I think that could turn out well.
It feels a little force, especially in the setting they've already created. This dark, gray, emotionless show. Yeah. Right. I'm sorry.
That's a new podcast coming from the network next week.
I just feel like, well, wait, hold on a second. That's one movie. Like, there's plenty of...
Two
movies. But there's plenty of stories to tell with plenty of different characters. And it's unfair to just say, well, we made this one movie in this universe, so clearly everything that happens in this universe must be of this same style, ilk, and you know, kind.
I think part of the problem, though, is that in those two movies that they've done, they seemingly purposefully closed so many doors to lightheartedness. They killed the possibility for lightheartedness.
Also, this is technically a direct sequel to those two movies as compared to maybe some of the other stuff they're doing.
Yeah, they kind of need to keep a thematic continuity between the intellectual properties because they exist in the same universe.
So that's not quite my problem. I understand that people are like, it's maybe a little too jarring to switch the mood for the trailer. And I can't believe we're dissecting that. We spent 5 minutes on the trailer.
It's longer than the trailer.
Yeah, I know. It's just that the jokes and the lightheartedness doesn't feel genuine. It feels almost as if somebody had been given a script. Maybe I just know too much about the production and was told, make this more whimsical or more charming or more personal. Like the scene where Batman and Barry are kind of like joking around, those really felt flat. They just like, oh, it was that easy to recruit you? Yes, I need friends. And I'm like, I could hear the Big Bang Theory soundtrack laughter coming in. And I just,
It almost felt like they were delivering those lines just after Jared Leto sent them a dead pig.
All right.
I mean, yeah.
There might be a reference to something. I don't know, but I'm going to let that go.
Look up the production of Suicide terrible. Squad.
Oh, all right. Interesting.
All right, then.
It's like you put a stand-up comedian on stage but held a gun to him and told him to do his bits.
I think that
was a Joker story, wasn't it?
I
remember that episode.
I think the table's mixed. I personally am not ready to like judge. It's just a trailer. It could go either way, but...
It is literally the first footage.
However, on a trailer that I think we're all pretty much united on, or at least closer on, would be the next one in the list, which would be Wonder Woman, right?
The Wonder Woman trailer, correct.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I really liked this trailer. Not only did I think it seemed like it was going to deliver an important and cohesive story, it was visually stunning in a way that wasn't Zack Snyder, and that was also very, very welcome.
Mm, I could see that.
It was gorgeous. Mm.
Yeah, I appreciate that it's World War One, and you don't see enough World War One on TV.
That's screen. Actually where I'm at with.
Yeah, I like the setting. I think it's an interesting place to tell a story, particularly a Wonder Woman story. Where women were obviously such an important part of World War One, like they are in any major war, but not in the way we think of soldiers. And to have Diana be this soldier in kind of contrast with that, it could be a fantastic. Could be a fantastic.
It's interesting.
Allegory.
It's got potential.
It's really pretty. I just from everything I've seen so far, even before the trailer came out, I'm not particularly compelled to see it. And I do actually really like Wonder Woman stuff. There's just really I haven't been very invested in the DC universe.
Nate, how did that happen? Do you think it's just like the movies you have seen from DC universe?
Yeah, I mean, I went and believe it or not, I actually saw Man of Steel in theaters when I was in China, and it was very popular there. Everybody else left pretty happy. I left kind of confused and not super pleased. I've only seen snippets of Batman versus Superman, but I just couldn't really get into it. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of on the edge of not really my thing, and I don't really think anybody is a super big fan of it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, so, all right.
I'm mostly just largely neutral. Like, it looks really cool. It doesn't really look like something I care about. The cast from the Amazons in Wonder Woman looks kind of flat, but I mean, if somebody else wanted to see it, I'm like, yeah, go ahead. But I'll wait for it to come out on Netflix.
I'm holding out hope for this one, but there are a couple other things that DC put out that
I have one final question for Wonder Woman, if it's okay.
All right, but she's not here presently.
No.
So it's going to be difficult.
On the topic of Wonder Woman, okay, Frank?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. No. You have the right to have a chip on your shoulder about a non sequitur for me.
Yeah.
Please look at the evidence of the last 15 years of podcasts. All right, go on.
No. The little tag at the end of Wonder Woman with the introduction of Etta Candy. Was anybody like really excited about that?
I could see that it was. I could see some people being amused by it. I didn't necessarily care one way or another.
They introduced the character like that, and I feel like they were expecting the audience watching that going, "Oh my God, they brought Etta Candy in." And I just don't know if that character has that kind of presence in the popular imagination.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm without.
She was Wonder Woman's sidekick, kind of, in the... She was almost like Wonder Woman's Bucky. She, if I remember correctly, led a Wonder Woman fan brigade, basically.
This was an earlier in World War II. Comics. Mm-hmm. And she's been in comics since then. But
she was basically a joke. She was sort of.
Yeah, I don't even know if she was a joke initially, but there, like, Bucky is a good example. Like, there was a time when the sidekick was, or even Robin, they're just these goofy people who are with you.
Yeah, but she was, it's a fat girl, but she's really tough.
Yeah. I don't know enough because I'm not, like, I'm sure if you took a Wonder Woman fan, there are going to be some people who love the character. Maybe not in this particular room, but that doesn't mean that isn't, like, I'll say the same thing for Dum Dum Dugan. I think a lot of people in the who have seen the like trailers or saw the movie would be like, oh, that's Mustache Guy with the hat. Like like not even registered as a character. But then the people who are super fans of that character, they remembered.
The only thing, the difference being Dum Dum Dugan appeared in comics consistently from when he first appeared up until he was introduced in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Etta Candy, what basically disappeared after the Silver Age and didn't come back until the New 52, at which point she was essentially a black supermodel.
She was also, I did not realize this, but she was also in the Wonder Woman TV show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. So, again,
I didn't know that.
It's hard to say because if you're not a fan, like, this is a better question left up to fans of the character, whether that just made you go crazy in your Comic-Con seats or YouTube, depending on where you saw this.
Well, I hope it was a big reveal. Yeah. I hope it worked out the way DC wanted it to. I was just curious if anybody else at the table even knew who she was.
Nope.
If that was a big moment for anybody.
Nope.
I hope one of these movies works out the way DC wants them to.
Yeah.
One day.
What's next on the list?
I hope DC knows how they want these movies to work out.
So the other side of the DC universe is its television universe, which I think to say that this table is much bigger fans of than their movie universe. We got new stuff from Flash, Arrow, the newly moved CW Supergirl, the Legends of Tomorrow, and a little bit from Gotham, all at DC's big event at Comic-Con.
No iZombie love?
No, we did get some iZombie love, too, just not a show I watch, so I don't have a lot to say about it.
iZombie's a great show. I'm very excited about CW and all their DC shows, and I'm glad they had some love at Comic-Con, although not necessarily a lot of news. We knew about Supergirl moving over for a while.
I guess we knew about Supergirl moving over. They announced... Taylor Hutchinson, I think is his name, who is actually a actor from Teen Wolf, is cast as Superman, who they got permission to actually have in the show.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Which is cool, right? Because that was something that was originally going to be a no-go. We know that the a couple of big villains have been cast as series regulars across all series, including John Barrowman's character and Captain Cold. Yes, Squirrel Girl. The guy who plays Captain Cold are going to be regulars across all the series, right? So we're going to probably see some villain crossovers between all the CW shows. We know that Flash is doing Flashpoint. That was a big thing.
Okay,
right?
So they've confirmed it's Flashpoint.
Interesting.
It's going to be a version of Flashpoint.
They can't obviously do everything they did in Flashpoint because they don't have access to, say, Batman or this or that.
Yeah.
But Barry Allen goes back to the past, does something big, changes time, future's all messed up.
I'm curious if that means that happened in all the other shows also.
That's what I'm curious about, too.
I think so, because there's a scene where Supergirl doesn't seem to recognize Barry, and I think that's what they're... I think they're bringing Supergirl on the back of Flashpoint somehow.
Mm. Yeah, because she's like in a separate universe on CBS, but this will be kind of a way to bring her in. The Legends of Tomorrow are all traveling through time, so I don't know how they're going
to
be affected.
It's a good way to get rid of Cat Grant.
And Arrow looks like they have an entirely new team of people, so that could also be Flashpoint affected. We don't know. So that's really cool. I think DC obviously tends to be killing it with their TV shows right now, or the CW as a whole, I guess. I mean, they've got a comic book DC show almost every night a week now.
Yeah, when is Riverdale coming out? Because that technically counts.
Riverdale,
well, it's not DC, but...
Riverdale is also coming out this season, right? So this fall.
Yeah. But do we know what day?
We do not know what day.
Because that might fill in that one gap of comic book day for the CW. That's all right. Friday? All right, so lots of cool things coming out. Should we move over in the interest of equal time to the other party?
So, yes. So the other obviously big showing at Comic-Con was Marvel. Who generally are the big winners of Hall H every year. I think maybe we'll start from the bottom up for Marvel and talk about their Netflix shows, since those are the trailers we actually get to see and the stuff for the movies we don't get to see, but the people in Hall H did. So, new Luke Cage trailer.
Which was amazing. Yes.
Looks great.
It was really, really good.
I really liked it, actually. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I think it's... you know, like it's got that sort of gritty realism of this is like this is a person living in the city doing stuff, but at the same time, once the car door goes away and he's just riddled with bullets and it doesn't affect him, it's like old school exploitation fun, like he's gonna kick some ass, and I really am excited about it.
And it's cool because I definitely think they injected the trailer with a lot of the idea that they're owning that this is truly the first black superhero, you know, in the Marvel universe. Not to belittle any of the others, but this is his own property.
Or like the one who's starring in something.
I'm excited to see, as opposed to Daredevil and Jessica Jones, a superhero for Marvel on Netflix that actually kind of wants to be a superhero instead of the sort of negativity that Daredevil and Jessica Jones had.
Yeah. He's actually trying to like help out his community, and like he actually wants to be a hero. That's like the line in the thing, which is great. I'm excited about it. I heard rumor that you saw a little bit of the gold tiara. I did not see it in the trailer, although I looked very closely. I'll say this: I don't know how I feel about the actor who portrays Luke Cage. Like, he was very hit or miss for me during Jessica Jones. There were some parts I really enjoyed, and some parts I was just like, I'm having a little bit of a problem with your delivery, but it could have just been the very awkwardness of how he was jerked into the show.
I really liked him.
Yeah, I'm completely on the opposite on this one. I thought his performances were stellar.
Yeah.
I loved him like from the first episode he was in. I thought he did a great job. I like deliveries of most of his lines, especially the more painful ones. Like they always came across, and I really love that actor and that character, so I would for him to get his own show. I mean, that's just great.
I like him, but he's not Terry Crews.
I
really wanted to see Terry Crews, and nobody was ever going to be Terry Crews other than Terry Crews.
You couldn't do the kind of Netflix shows they're doing. There's definitely a Terry Crews as Luke Cage Netflix show. Most likely a Heroes for Hire style show with a Iron Fist that's also kind of like lighthearted.
Yeah.
I think that would be good. I'm not saying that Terry Crews can only do comedy, but like I could see that being, it's hard to break from the mold that you've been typecast in. I would like that show, but it's not the kind of show that you'd air on Netflix. And I kind of prefer these more serious Netflix shows.
Yeah. It's weird to say that like Netflix has like the right type of dark and gritty, or the right way to kind of present these characters in a serious light as compared to DC's movies, which I feel like are just like you're getting all the wrong parts about these characters dark.
I also think it's about selecting the right characters. Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist in a way, and definitely Daredevil. All these characters fit in well with the darker tone story.
Yes.
Same way, I wouldn't complain about a dark tone Batman movie. The dark tone Superman and everybody else
where it goes wrong.
Yeah. So I like that one.
We got to see a little bit of Iron Fist as well, which I mean, despite our you know basic underlying problems with Iron Fist, was fine. It was a fine.
It was very vanilla.
Teaser trailer. Yeah. Oh.
Also, I'll stick with it.
All right. Well, we're moving it. So yeah, it was a teaser trailer. It was very brief. Iron Fist is a character I enjoy, and I feel like he is he is potentially a problematic character for a lot of different reasons, but this is a wonderful opportunity to like change the way stories are reflected. I don't really feel comfortable talking about this about a trailer. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know what's going to happen. I'm sorry, Kathy, no. Were you going to say something?
All right. Now is the time in New York to be a door maker. Because in each and every one of these trailers, someone kicked down a door. And it would take heavy construction to put that thing back on.
Now would be the time to be collateral damage. Is that it? No, damage control.
Damage control.
Damage control. Yeah, definitely. But nope.
And I'll say another thing based solely on the trailers. They really need to cut Danny Rand's hair
before
we go too far into the series. Uh-huh. Because all I can see is the one dude on that 70s show.
All right.
The actor's name, I believe, is Danny.
Yeah. I can see that. Yeah, definitely. So, interesting.
We also got a little teaser for The Defenders, which was, admittedly the teaseriest of teasers, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was actually very well styled.
I liked it.
Yeah, it was cool, the tearing away of the different logos to make up the Defenders logo with all of their different logos. I think it was a fun choice of music, and the line by Stick makes sense. So, but that was it. I mean, it was just kind of a fun little beat in there. We're all fans here of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
So we had some big S.H.I.E.L.D. news.
We are. Hey, with the people who are fans, make a noise or else negative Nancy and Nelly are going to make it. We're at least 60-40 as fans of S.H.I.E.L.D.
We had some big news. So first off, S.H.I.E.L.D. is moving to 10 o'clock.
That means S.H.I.E.L.D. can be grimdark now.
It's moving to a later time slot, which probably means we're going to get a little bit of
Marvel Knights. Yeah!
More Nazis.
A little bit of our darker storylines. Though S.H.I.E.L.D. I feel like hasn't had a problem with being a little more on the dark side at times anyway.
Yeah, but I think it may actually be a limit to the number of scenes. Like, I think you get like, all right, so you're at 9 o'clock, you get one emulation per season. Like, all right, that sounds right. We need at least three. We're going to have to move back an hour.
You need at least three cute and cuddly puppies to balance out that immolation.
Yeah. But we did get a lot of cute and cuddly puppies.
It's true.
I was happy with those puppies. They're good puppies.
But the big news is that with that move, they're bringing one of the Marvel characters who has come back to Marvel, and that's Ghost Rider. Will be joining the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
They've been teasing this for a while.
I am psyched, man. I cannot wait to get me some Johnny Blaze action.
Oh, set up.
So it's not the original Ghost Rider.
No.
That's fine. No horseback.
This is cool. I can deal with Danny
Ketch. Johnny Blaze wasn't the original Ghost Rider anyway.
Well, yeah, but you know, we're talking Ghost Rider, Flaming Skull, dude. Come on.
It's actually the newest iteration of Ghost Rider, who's a character called Robbie Reyes.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I've heard his story is actually pretty fun. We reviewed it on Near Mint back in the day. It seems like it's interesting, but certainly different. And I don't know why you would make that change. So this Ghost Rider has a race car, a souped up race car.
Figures. Marvel has to go and play the race car.
We've almost reached a limit. We actually... Our podcasting equipment turns off if we get one more of these. So we got to be careful, guys.
Challenge accepted.
We got to be careful. We got to do this whole thing without one more of those.
Yeah, don't set me off.
So, yeah, all right. So I think this is like 2014, 15 version of...
Yeah, it was like 2013, 2014 version of the character. 2014.
Which I think is probably reasonable because it would be very hard to divorce Ghost Rider from his two... films that were
I'll tell you.
You know,
I also think it saves the character of depending on the mythology they use, it saves the character, the Johnny Blaze character, possibly for a film or a series outside of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that they might want to visit at a later date.
If they did do a movie, people would want to see Blaze or Ketch.
Correct.
Your motorcycle driving Ghost Rider.
Gotcha.
Correct. So this allows them to play with that mythology and that story. But not get to use him up. So I think it was probably a negotiation for the people at Marvel who write Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But still, I'm excited about it. Mm-hmm. Hopefully this'll be more of S.H.I.E.L.D. to come, but I can be a little worried that with a move to 10 o'clock, this might be our last season, so hopefully we go out on a high note.
I hope so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All kidding aside, the Robbie Reyes story is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
So this will be fun to see.
I think it's interesting, and it's certainly a character... Ghost Rider really is a character that lends itself very well to the idea of multiple people can be Ghost Rider. You know?
I also like the idea that apparently the introduction of Ghost Rider is essentially their tie-in to Doctor Strange this cool. year.
Nice.
Yes.
It's essentially because Doctor Strange is opening up the world of the Mystic that through that we get Ghost Rider.
Right.
And that's exactly the kind of crossover I want to see.
Mm-hmm. And we did get a little bit of Doctor Strange during Comic-Con.
Yep, we did. We got a new trailer for Doctor Strange, which looks kind of a lot of what we've been seeing before, right?
It's yeah.
this very kind of mystical, kind of Inception-y sort of style.
I like Hannibal as the villain. Well, I mean, like the guy who plays Hannibal in the show as the villain. I like him as an actor, so...
I also love him as an actor, so I'm really hoping that his villain, Mads' villain, is memorable. But obviously Marvel has a villain problem, so I'd love to see him be the next Loki, but I'm not holding my breath. But I do love Mads Mikkelsen. I think he's a great actor, and I think he has the ability to shine in this part. Hopefully they let him.
Did we find out who his character is?
So we didn't actually get his name, but they've alluded very heavily that he'll be playing the real Baron Mordo, or a character very closely based on that.
I feel like
as opposed to Baron Mordo, who's already a character in the film.
I think it's Iron Man 3?
No, in Iron Doctor Man... Strange.
Oh, he's in Doctor Strange?
Who's yeah, the...
oh,
I
no,
can't remember
he's,
the actor's name.
I can't say his name. Yes.
That's the best. Chitwell and Ejiofor.
Yeah, so people seem to be predicting that there's going to be some sort of...
We're going to have a Ra's al Ghul
kind of sort thing, of thing going on. Hmm. Yeah. Because they've been keeping his name really under wraps. Yeah, so.
I hope not.
Hopefully it's something more interesting than that.
It's because Marvel's not suffering from a, no, look, we can turn out good movies, look, guys, problem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure. That sounds like
we'll
an apologist.
Buy that.
I'm just saying, the general perception has been that Marvel puts out better movies.
Yeah.
And they don't have to work as hard as DC does right now to sell their movies being good.
I really wish they would, though, because I am getting a little nervous. Because more and more, as more time passes by, this whole taking for granted that Marvel's putting out good movies begins to make me feel like, is this the dawn of the dusk of the Western, you know? Mm-hmm. Are we going to stop seeing good comic book-based properties just because... the big dog in town is getting complacent.
Yeah, it is scary that, you know, now if Marvel doesn't put out the best film ever, every time, critics are, this isn't that great.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Marvel showed two other movies at Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. We got brand new footage from Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah, baby.
Yes.
Including footage with Kurt Russell.
And confirmation of his character, right?
Yes.
Yep.
That's right. Yes. That's a little weird. I did not expect this. So everybody was thinking that Kurt Russell will be playing Star-Lord's dad.
Which and he is.
Is true.
But Star-Lord's dad in the movies is going to be Ego.
The living planet.
Yeah.
The living
Has planet. He been what? Named that in the movie, though?
The mechanics of it are mind-boggling.
Reading.
Why do you ask?
I've only heard him referred to as Ego in the movie.
Right. Just as Ego, not
they never
as
call
Ego,
him
the
Ego
living
the
planet.
Living planet.
Oh, but they call him Ego.
And I'm wondering if he even is a living planet in the movie.
Or this is how he ends up.
Because, once again, the mechanics of it are mind-boggling.
Yeah. Well, there's apparently an exchange that was shown where... Drax, apparently they explain that he is Star-Lord's father, and Drax says, but do you even have a penis? And Kurt Russell, as Ego, turns to him and says, yes, Drax, I have a penis. mechanics.
Awesome. I guess technically he would have many, many millions of penises.
Peni?
I don't right. think he's an inhabited planet, though.
But there's no living creatures
at least
there.
Once was.
Or plants. I mean, he has stamens. What has this podcast become?
Boomer, what are we even talking about anymore?
All right.
And supposedly Sylvester Stallone is
yes,
playing a Nova.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm done.
Which wow. I want to know, how do we distinguish him from Judge Dredd?
I haven't heard that yet at all. But we get to see a lot of different stuff. We've got some new battle gear for Star-Lord. We see that Groot's still a baby, at least in the early footage. Oh. We get some Yondu stuff. Some Gamora, some Drax. Like I said, we get the revelation that Star-Lord's father, or Kurt Russell's character, is Ego. And that's about it. It was all unpolished, right? So it was a lot of unfinished stuff, so we probably won't be seeing it for a while.
You know what I really sincerely hope, just pure speculation, that this scene with Ego is just complete bunk. They put it in Comic-Con.
That would be delicious.
Because it'd be much better than saying, no, he's not. There's no Khan in our movie. Oh, it's totally Khan in the movie. Like, I would rather them just be like, oh, yeah, no. Remember when we said that Benedict Cumberbatch was going to play a triple? And you all believed it? That's stupid. All right, so what else you got for my brains?
The big surprise was Spider-Man Homecoming, just wrapped filming, right? Or which it's just started filming.
Yeah, but just wrapped, I'd be like, what?
No, just started filming, so it seemed...
It's going to be a short film.
It seemed people obviously weren't expecting to have any Spider-Man footage, but we did. We got a small teaser where we have... over the music of Bad Reputation, where they show a little bit of Tony Stark. They show a little bit of Mark Ruffalo's Bruce Banner. Mm-hmm. We get Tom Holland as Spider-Man, a couple of the characters that are cast as his friends, and our first look at the Vulture.
Oh, interesting.
Which is, what's his name?
Good.
Birdman.
Oh God!
Are you serious,
Stephen Colbert?
I'm trying
No.
It's on the tip of my tongue. Obviously, I know who he is.
I'm watching this too much.
Also, Batman. Come on,
I know. Yeah. Also, Batman.
The key to knowing his name is not to worry a ton. Come
he's
on,
you got it, James.
Lean into the
Michael
mic.
Keaton.
He's
anyway.
Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton. Oh.
Did Michael someone Keaton. Give the clue Michael Keaton? What
no,
the hell was
no,
that?
I just
said it. I obviously know who Michael
like
Keaton
Michael
is.
Sounds like Michael Keaton.
I obviously know
so
who Michael Keaton is.
So we confirmed Michael Keaton is Vulture because we were That's people just thought
awesome.
He might be. Yeah.
That is so cool. I am so on board with this.
I am not sure.
Yeah, well.
I don't know if I like him playing the super powered person with wings twice in a row.
Well, I mean, he is.
He's going to release a small indie film in between the two. So that
Keep going.
Gonna
bring in Danny DeVito as Mole Man?
Yeah. Yes.
So they're not. Listen, you basically found the way to Al's wallet, Pete. You're not that stunned. Next on our block from Comic Con.
So there were a bunch of cool other little things. Pokemon Go got upgraded to Hall H because apparently there was a big rumor that there would be a legendary Pokemon given away at Comic-Con. So
spoiler alert, nope.
So thousands of people showed up to the panel just to basically hear the people from Pokemon Go apologize for the bad launch.
But they got to see what the gym leaders look like.
They
like
did.
Minutes before we did.
They announced what the gym leaders look like and then posted them on Twitter.
What's the term? Schrodenfreuden? What is it? The pleasure.
Schadenfreude.
That's the guy. Oh, yeah.
Boy, those Germans have a word for
everything.
Do we
know the gender of Mystic's gym leader?
Hey, it's not important. Shut up.
Wisdom.
The answer is no, we don't. And what Frank said.
Yeah.
We had a couple of cool other things. The cast of Archer did a live episode, right?
Oh, I so would have loved
they
to
wrote an
that.
Episode specifically for the show, and then they all acted it out.
That's so great.
Which
that's
was great. Sounds amazing, and I've been trying to find little clips of it all different places.
It's nuts.
We had, it was the 30th anniversary of Alien.
Cool.
Which was cool. Good. We had some anniversary panels there where people seemed
I've heard good things about the whatever the next product is coming out. Apparently it is like well done, and the stars from the franchise, Sigourney Weaver signs off on it. I've heard good things.
Yep.
There is, what about that Dan Harmon thing?
So Dan Harmon and the rest of the guys from Rick and Morty, Justin Roiland, Dan Harmon, and a couple of the cast members from Rick and Morty recorded a Georgia court script they found, like the most ridiculous public
record
court script that they could find, and they recorded Morty as the judge and Rick as the defendant, and it was just hilarious. Like, and the best part is that this was apparently like word for word, you know, just actually what happened.
That's amazing.
So that was hilarious, and they did some drawings to go along with it, you know. Nice. So it looked like they were actually doing things, but it wasn't like a full animated episode. We got our first look at American Gods, which is coming out next year.
I'm excited. I keep forgetting about that because I keep, like, I've no longer have any hope that it's going to get made. Like, I've been convinced it's not going to happen, even though
they have a full cast and they're filming.
And there's footage.
And there's footage.
But still, I'm like, no, it's going to fall apart.
There's like a whole trailer.
It doesn't matter. I don't believe
they
it. They
got whole seasons in the can.
Which is done, the series is being done by Brian Fuller. For those of you who know Brian Fuller from Hannibal and Pushing Daisies and Dead Like Me and The Only Good Season of Heroes. He's just incredible. The show, the footage looks amazing. You know, I just, every time we hear him talk about it and see the cast, it just gives me hope that this will not be butchered. And I just hold on to that. We also got a look, just a tiny bit of a teaser of effects work on the other show Brian Fuller is working on right now, which is the new Star Trek series.
Ooh.
I'm learned that it takes place in the original universe. Not in the new canon.
All right.
And we know that the name of the show and the starship is Discovery.
Interesting.
Do we know anything else about what that might be about or it takes place in the timeline?
Yeah, the timeline is what I'm curious
about. We're under the impression that the series itself will be an anthology, so that not each episode, but each season will take place in different periods of time.
Okay.
We are not sure of where the first one takes place, though.
Interesting.
But we think it's later original Trek, like somewhere during the movie's original Trek.
Okay.
I like the conceit that 1,000 years into the future, the government still can't come up with original names for spacecraft. They've still got to recycle old names.
Not that they can't. It's just that thing that ends up happening to the Discovery in the next few hundred years is so shocking that we must memorialize it forever. Trust me.
They know the future. The concept art also looked really cool. It was based off of concept art that Ralph McQuarrie did for the original Star Trek movie.
Legally, they can't say that.
They didn't use, except for the fact that they couldn't say that they used his work, but they said it was heavily influenced by. But if you look it up, it's like the same thing.
I feel like that's worse. That's a really horrible thing. Be like, listen, we found this guy's art. We're going to pay him. So we, wink, wink, used, like, that's, like, if that happened on DeviantArt, people would be outraged. They'd immediately go to their live journals, and then they would blog about it.
It's probably complicated because they
would move you out of their top eight.
They own the image.
Yeah.
The images of which were produced for the movie, but couldn't.
They would change their Star Trek, name away message.
Cannot reproduce them for new series without the approval of the Macquarie estate. Which they obviously couldn't get.
I don't like that. That's very bad. I've got more things to say about 90s technology. They will change their aim away message to be yellow card lyrics that are really depressing.
They're going on their last tour.
That's even more depressing.
There you go.
They haven't already.
I don't know. Something about downloading things on Napster.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Sure.
LimeWire.
And that's, I think, I mean, tons of other stuff happened at Comic-Con.
Brie Larson was cast.
Good rap.
Brie Larson was cast as Captain Marvel.
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm pretty surprised by it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was exciting.
Remind me who Brie Larson is.
So
she was in The Room?
She was in Room.
That's what I said.
Oh.
And then before that, she was in Community? That's where I knew her from.
Yeah.
She was on a couple of episodes of Community.
All right.
And now Allison Brie an Oscar. And Brie Larson are different people?
Yes.
Okay.
And then she won an Oscar, and now she's Captain Marvel. But she's obviously a great actress.
Okay.
So that's really exciting.
She also gained 20 pounds of muscle mass just to be go to San Diego Comic-Con
Holy cow.
Get announced as Captain Marvel. I said that with way too straight of a face.
I was going to say, did you just look that up on www.stufffrankmadeup.com?
I'm sure, though.
We were 100%
certain. I was completely on board.
I apologize. Like,
wow.
I apologize to the listening
audience.
Like, man,
she's dedicated. I'm excited.
Didn't buy it for a second, Frank.
Yeah. If you guys got anything else, I can't
great
think
dismount,
of anything else.
James. That's, I was a fun
that is though. Literally everything that happened at Comic-Con.
There's a new comic book coming out about Mycroft Holmes. About Sherlock Holmes.
Like, really? Interesting.
Yeah.
Because I like Mycroft as a character. Awesome. He's arguably smarter than Sherlock.
I do find this entire thing exciting and strangely focused on non-comic properties. I will say one last thing. This just got confirmed just a few minutes ago, actually, that Geoff Johns is confirmed as president of DC Entertainment. So beforehand, a few days ago, he was the CCO, the Chief Creative Officer for Warner Brothers DC Comics intellectual property, so the like movies, the TV shows, and stuff. But now Geoff Johns is actually president of the company, and
which makes Jim Lee what premier,
chief czar. I don't know what it makes him, but like it's so. For those of you who don't know, Geoff Johns is he has written a lot of the major DC storylines that have come out recently. What he's strongest in writing things he has complete control over. Like his Flash stories are great. I really do enjoy them, but when he has control over the entire line, I'm not quite as convinced those stories are good or cohesive. It seems like a little too sprawling. I don't know. But I will say this is the first time he'll be taking charge of DC officially, as opposed to just being handed editorial control of a bunch of books he hasn't actually himself written.
So we're hoping that we get more of the, like, more the competency of his own individual work, as opposed to, well, now that he has his hands in all of the pies,
right,
that it's gonna like affect DC as a whole, and it's gonna be like, oh, okay, well, now that he's,
yeah, I think that's, yeah, my hope. He does do really well when he's got control of the story. It's only in things where, like, I feel like it was almost an afterthought where he was added on as like the head of a storyline, when like Flashpoint and New 52 kind of spread out a little too wide and affected all the lines. That was a little awkward, but again, this is the first time he's actually come into the position saying, this is what I want to do. And I do like Geoff Johns as creative chief and head guru, as opposed to someone saying like Zack Snyder, who maybe doesn't quite get the characters as much as he gets, you know, cinematography, I guess.
Interesting, right? And apparently in the same move, Dan DiDio will now be vice president in charge of dealing with Alan Moore.
Which is just going to get tougher as the world has now realized that Alan Moore was right all along. Speaking of news from San Diego Comic-Con. All right, I think we can wrap it up. Thank you, James, for walking us through San Diego Comic-Con.
No problem.
Only had a week to prepare, and it seemed like you had minutes.
Yeah.
Take that for what it's worth. If you guys want to follow more stuff about Comic-Con or other geek-centered things, follow Non-Productive, non-productive.com. It's where you got this podcast from, probably. Thank you all, and good night.
Good night, everybody.
Night.
Ow.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.